If you take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, it's found on page 1165. 1165. Philippians 2. Let's read the first 10 verses, 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When my kids were little, my wife and I, as part of our Christmas decorations that we put up every year, we would put up this miniature nativity set. I think it was Precious Moments. It was a while ago. We would set them on this one little table, and we would tell the kids, don't touch. Yeah, you know how that goes, right? Especially when you have something like that. And it was amazing. We thought we had an elf or something, because slowly the figurines in the nativity set started moving around to different places. And all the kids said, no, we haven't done it. We never touched it. So one day you'd see the cows, or a cow and the camel and the sheep. They'd be around the manger scene. Another day you'd see the wise men. Another day you'd see the shepherds. And even Mary and Joseph, they got a turn to stare at baby Jesus. That was the interesting thing about what was going on with the nativity set. And my wife was peeking around the corner one day, and we found out who was behind it all, and it was our sweet daughter Angela. And it was kind of cute the way she'd have them talk to each other, but in everything that she did, the manger was always central. It wasn't everybody standing around Mary. It wasn't everyone standing around Joseph. It was everyone coming around the cradle where Jesus laid. And I think we forget that sometimes. I think sometimes, just as my daughter, even though she knew the how important the baby Jesus was, I don't think she knew exactly what he had come to do at that point, because she was so young at the time. And I think sometimes this is true for us too. We go through Christmas, and we put up Christmas decorations, and we have candles, and we have get-togethers and parties, and we do lots of enjoyable things as families, but sometimes I think we forget the true meaning of Christmas, and that's Jesus. In so many houses, I think it becomes all about Santa, which it's up to you how you want to use that, but I think we have to be so careful that despite all those other things, that it might not distract us from the real focus, and that's our Savior Jesus. But imagine Mary and Joseph going into a stable full of donkeys and camels and sheep. Think of all the travelers that had come. The inn was full. There was no room in the inn. It must have been dirty. I'm sure it stunk. I'm sure it didn't smell like antiseptic, but probably more like manure. Mary's birthing place was a stall with some straw in it. Who knows how clean that straw was? It's probably fairly dark, not a hospital with like a hospital with lots of lights. I'm sure there was probably just a little oil lamp that probably lit that manger up. And that's the light that they used as Jesus was born. Can you imagine delivering a child there? We couldn't think of it. But especially thinking that he's the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he would have such a humble and lowly beginning. I hope you marvel at it as you think about that. What it must have been like for Jesus to go from the splendors of heaven to be here on earth. Jesus left the glory of the Father, all the angels who obeyed his every command, and he humbled himself and became human. Now he needed food and sleep. When he skinned his knee, he bled. He needed protection from Mary and Joseph. He was so innocent. He experienced the same feelings and emotions that we do, yet he never sinned because he was God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus went from the wonders of heaven where no sin exists to earth where the effects of sin are, we can feel it all around us. Everything's been tainted by it, I should say. Why would God do this to his son? Why did God send his son to the earth to live the lowliest of lives among a godless people? Not only did Israel have no room for Jesus at his birth, but they had no room for him later on either, when he died on the cross. Jesus seemed to like just slip into the world. And as he departed the world, people had no room for him. The ones that were yelling out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," suddenly they're yelling out, "Crucify him." Why would Jesus endure all this? It's because of his love for you and me. He put aside his desires, his wants, his needs in order for you to be with him forever in heaven so that we might have eternal life. What an incredible gift we've been given. And that's why we give gifts at Christmas. Let's not forget that. Sometimes we put all our energy and emphasis on the gifts, but we've already been given the greatest gift that the world has ever seen, and that's Jesus. And so as we approach this Christmas season, I pray that we might not forget that. Christmas, I love this time of the year. I love the lights, the Christmas decorated Christmas trees. I've told you before how sometimes I'll lie next to the tree with Noah and we'll look up from underneath and see all the glittering lights, and it's just neat when you can do those kind of things. But let's never forget that the reason we celebrate this season is because of Jesus. There's a song some of you learned as children, and it goes like this. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. And that's what Jesus wants from each of us this Christmas. He wants our hearts. He wants you to make him your heart's desire, to love him just as he loves us. It's those who know Jesus who can sing a song like "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And we can feel the joy because of what Christ has done for us, and that we know that we're his children. And so in a few minutes, when we sing that very song. I pray that you remember who you're, what you're singing about and who you're singing to. And may it be to his praise and to his glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you that he was willing to leave the wonders of heaven and come down here to the earth, Lord, to be that servant who eventually went to the cross and died there for our sins. Father, this Christmas season, may that motivate us in all our celebrations. Father, we pray that you might fill us with a joy that can only come from you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.